Hello and welcome to Gully Boys of Cricket, the voice of fans. Gully Boys is a podcast where fans can speak their mind and also we keep Share the Trophy request to ICC alive. I'm your host Prakash Vadva and today it's great to have Darshit from New Zealand and Sapan from India joining us. So today we are talking about two different subjects. One is cricket and COVID-19 and the other one is the selection between World T20 and IPL. Now these are two different subjects, but they both present one important question to us. Is cricket really fair as we know it? Or is there a more powerful, different story going on underneath the game that we all love? So that's the theme we'll address today in between these two subjects. But first, let me come to you, Darshit. Welcome back to the show from New Zealand. Tell us a bit about the situation there, because we are all looking at New Zealand and feeling so good and proud of what you're doing. So tell us, what's the situation? How is the weather outside for cricket? And are you possibly going to see any cricket anytime soon?
So right now, it's raining and it's a winter started in New Zealand. But the good news is that on Saturday night, we eliminated Corona totally. We don't have any active cases in the country and everything is 0-0-0. So like we are the first country in the world who controlled the Corona within 2 months. And now still we are at level 2. But all the Kiwi people keeping in mind the social distancing, they are going out. Now you can see malls, restaurant and everything is with full of people, but with keeping a mind in social distancing, as well as they are following the government guidelines as well. So with the current situation and the way New Zealand is moving further, by end of September, when summer is going to start, seems like that there is a good opportunity and good possibility to start domestic cricket as well as some of international cricket as well. Because we have schedule in October as well. Black Caps has a schedule in October as well. But still a concern is that when government is going to open the international border.
You know, so many parts of the world are struggling with the crisis. So it's great to see at least a part of the world down under, both New Zealand and Australia, have got situation somewhat in control. Hope it stays that way. That's important. So welcome back, Sapan. Last time you were here, you know, you were the one who introduced us to this concept of the window, World T20 window, the Asia Cup window, and how IPL could be possibly rescheduled in that window. That was probably about 6 weeks ago. But now, as we are getting close to that decision point, it's getting more and more murky and voices are starting to come out. What's your thought now on that World T20 and IPL selection?
Yeah, thanks Prakash for allowing me again. As far as the World T20 is concerned, chances looks gloomy to me because we don't know when international borders will start. A few hours back only we have received our Unlock 1.0 guidelines in India. So they are going to start their international flights in late August or maybe the first week of September. So by looking at overall circumstances, I think World T20 will be postponed, maybe because they were scheduling actually in 2021 as well as in 2020. But I think now we will have three continuous years of ICC events like 2021, 2 and we have a World Cup in 2023 for 50 overs. IPL, where when we were discussing 6 weeks back, it was looks like a fairy tale. But now from BCCI's perspective, it looks very much possible because September and October is a usually kickstart month of Indian domestic circuit. Still tricky, even if IPL is opening because as Darshit mentioned, September, October is a month specifically which is a start of a down under summer. So people, because these two countries are sending maximum players to IPL and these two countries only this time will be hesitating to send their people to play IPL, even if that Pat Cummins was saying that no, IPL should be there at least. But speaking in a media is a different thing than the playing actually, by not taking a chance to play for your country. For Indian cricketers, yeah, definitely things look brighter. But to invite foreign people, it looks a little bit fairy tale to me as of now.
Well, thank you, Sapan, for moving us a little bit more forward on that discussion. Now, where you ended, getting foreigners or foreign players into the country is a problem. Let's pick up there, because that's pretty much the entry point for that COVID versus cricket discussion. Because last time we were talking about the tour of West Indies to England, and the consensus we got to in that call, Aaron and I, we did not quite agree with the timing. Like, we felt it was too early, and it was fairly obvious it was because of the broadcast deal of ECB with Sky that they want to have the series. So they are going there in July, imagine, to England, the hot spot of the crisis right now in Europe. What's your feel on that? Should there be a balance? Because we can see, we've all heard of this power of Big Three and their dominance in world cricket. But isn't it openly in play here? I'll put you in that situation, Sapan. Would you be comfortable if foreign players were coming to India at this point?
As a citizen or as a player, I would think a little bit differently from the player's perspective. No one would like to send anyone to play cricket in India right now, to be fair enough. If you are going to send anyone to India, obviously the boards like a Caribbean board, for example, or even if a PCB, Pakistan, I would consider Pakistan cricket board, Sri Lankan cricket board, these are not the richest cricket boards like ECB, ACB and BCCI. So that will be very much a thing to be balanced in between cricket and to maintain your internal politics, to ensure that people stay healthy as well as people keeps on playing on the cricket ground. This is the time when we this richest cricket board also, but even ICC should take a step forward and they should consider a places, say for example New Zealand. I know it's a winter time over there, but even if you are playing in England in July, ball will seem because of that muggy atmosphere. So I think people should think about this type of venues, neutral venues, where even this Caribbean people can come and play, and even ECB can also make sure that whatever they have scheduled to for their cricketers is paying off. This is just my thought.
Great idea, actually. Just rent a stadium or, you know, have some sort of cricket going on, let's say only in Australia and New Zealand. Sapan, you said that you don't see the World T20 happening, which is likely the scenario we're going to end up with. But if West Indies can come to England today, then I think we can have the World Cup in October in Australia.
100%. See, still possibilities is there to have a World Cup in Australia, T20 World Cup. But the thing is that, let's say, Australia and New Zealand are still doing a good with COVID. But other countries, when we are considering all the participants of ICC T20 World Cup tournament, may not be good doing a good. And the other thing is that, other cautious thing is that, like, when all the teams are arriving to Australia and they have to quarantine by government rule for 14 days, even after, let's say if they are traveling from one city to another city for a game day, it will be a biggest hassle for them as well, because they are going out of their bubble and they are going into the different city and they are landing there and they are going to play. So all these challenges are ahead for Australian government as well and Australian cricket board as well. So that is why, to keep their country safe and keep their country away from COVID, what they did so far, they will mostly going towards that postponing ICC T20 tournament instead of that, they will call any other team into their country and play at a single venue tournament or single venue series. So they can eliminate the risk of, player has to be quarantined. Also, player might get infected of foreigner players, even Australian players as well. So all these elements, they want to make sure that, everything is staying safe. And whatever they are getting out of that game, it's not problematic for the country. From my point of view, like ICC T20 World Cup won't go ahead as per, the current situation and Australian Cricket Board and Australian government guideline. But still, Australia already announced the schedule between India and Australia, the Test series and ODI and T20. And Sapan told the very right thing that smallest cricket board like Sri Lanka, Pakistan and all that. And I heard that Afghanistan is traveling to Australia in October for T20 series. So that's the right idea that to promote the small boards and who are not infected much, they can travel to this kind of safest place and they can play cricket as well.
Sapan, if World T20 cannot happen in Australia, how can the IPL happen? We are seeing how India is doing. Hopefully situation, comes to the other side of the curve by that time. Even if it does, if Australia cannot have 16 teams over, how can India handle 8 teams?
You brought up a very good question, right? But what BCCI can think of this is that this year, at least, they can schedule an IPL. Even though there is an unprecedented situation is going on, we can give an exposure to our domestic players. There is a big chance where World T20 is going to get postponed. They can have certain people coming into their 11s and they can just try it out an option, backup option, that if now people have started reading Yuzvendra Chahal and Kuldeep Yadav, then who will be the next two spinner attacks for India, because there are three ICC events are going to schedule in 21 to 23 and out of two will be in India. So that spinning department needs to have a booster. Let's give an exposure to this Indian domestic player, and whosoever wants to join from outside the world, they can come. Because IPL is, it's not only cricket extravaganza, it's a money extravaganza as well. So people would love to send their players, and even players will come to India at their own risk and they will say that, we'll stay in quarantine, but we'll play IPL.
Couple of great points there, Sapan, in that observation. One was, of course, that this is a challenge, this situation, the crisis, but there is also an opportunity in that. We may never see an IPL without the foreign players, but what an opportunity. Can we have an IPL purely on Indian players? Because this is a situation where people are starved of cricket. They are going to watch the IPL, even with Indian players. The other part was the money extravaganza you mentioned. That is obviously the case. I'll come to that in a moment, because Darshit also pointed about the Indian-Australian series of India has already been announced with dates and grounds. Talking of IPL, one other thought I want to ask you, Sapan and Darshit, maybe you can also pitch in. IPL is different than World T20. When you talk of a World Cup, there is something about uniting the nation behind it. There's a certain pride. It could add some goodness in these times, uniting countries behind something good. But IPL, in a way, it's a celebration of cricket. So how good does it look? Something of a celebration in these dark times. Is there that factor, or that money extravaganza just overshadows everything?
A recent week statements by the different pioneers of the different cricket boards has raised a situation just like a cricket match. You never know until the last ball is getting bowled. You can never predict a result unless and until the last ball is bowled. So same thing is happening behind the bars as well. People are thinking, and they will have to think beyond the bars, beyond the situation, because COVID-19 is going to stay with you, me and everyone over here. It's not going to be like all of a sudden we'll get a vaccine here and there and things will again be normal, just like we were living in 2019. So things will have to move on. There is a famous line in Indian Bollywood industry that show must go on. So we'll have to consider that. Second thing, a very good point you have raised, that this is a tragic situation as well. Everywhere, there's a lots of calamities, not only in India, but across the globe. Even though our India's death rate is very much in control, tragedy is a tragedy. But people, especially in India, as you mentioned, are so, like we are from the part where I'm living right now, people are not thinking about what is going to be happen in July and August, when people will start coming into the roads, coming onto the roads. But they are thinking about what will happen if Navratri festival is not going to be scheduled. So that's the Indian mentality, you know, that we are taking only two steps in practically, but we are thinking 20 steps ahead. So that is what IPL is right now looking like. But as I've said, we'll have to knock a door unless it. So once it gets open, we'll see the light. What is the light? What kind of brightness is out there? Once we'll open the door and see what is going on, what is happening outside.
From my side, I can see ICC and BCCI in the two different buckets. ICC is looking from a money point of view, because if they are having a ICC T20 World Cup tournament in Australia with empty stadium, they won't get anything. They won't get any royalty from the tickets and all that. So they won't get a huge amount of money collection in terms of income from the ICC tournament, what they are going to held. They will just get money from the broadcasting rights and all these things. And definitely it will be a bit unshine the ICC tournament. But over the other side, BCCI with the power of money, they are keen to host IPL because they want to earn money from the broadcasting rights, franchisee owners. They can still get a huge money from broadcasting as well as advertisement and other things as well. That's why I told that these two are in a two separate basket, and both are looking towards a money perspective point of view. And seems like that BCCI is going to win this game. Definitely, they will think, yes, right now Indian condition is not suitable to have IPL. But might be they will think to hold the IPL either in UAE, either might be in South Africa, or might be somewhere else.
Or in Eden Park, New Zealand. That was Sapan's idea last time.
It was my idea, but now it looks very impossible. Very much impossible, because you cannot waste time. The 15 days here and 15 days there makes huge difference. You cannot disrespect others' schedule.
It's all about, again, money game. Because all the contracted players, let's say they have to get an NOC to play in IPL. And all the cricket boards are knowing that, due to this COVID-19 and there is no games and no tournaments and no series. So players are not getting that enough money. So definitely those cricket boards will allow their players to go and play in IPL and accumulate some money. So definitely it won't be an issue. And most of the cricket boards will also think that, okay, let them play. And within a month or time or so, that situation will get better and better. So they can call other cricket boards to play in their home country, or they can go to the somewhere else to play bilateral series or so.
Money game is what you mentioned, Darshit. And Sapan, you mentioned the money extravaganza when you mentioned the IPL. Is there, shoot straight here, is there even a question mark or any doubt that beyond all this, there is something else? The power strings are being pulled by these big nations. Like, the denial of the World Cup is not so much coming from the ICC. Australia is putting its hand up and saying, oh wait, maybe we can't have the World Cup. India silently is looking at that window and wanting the IPL. Australia at the same time announces the dates of Indian tour there. And England, the third big country, it's already having West Indies over in July. So everyone is getting what they want. Is there some sort of backroom, something going on, which we don't necessarily see out in the open, but of course it's there. No one talks about it.
100%. All these eliminates or elements or all these scenarios, what you explained, just that Australia denying that hosting a World Cup and India looking for IPL window, or the other side, Australia announcing India-Australia series schedule and all that. And all these things shows that, you know, it's all about money game, and ICC is getting controlled by those nations. And ICC is not much independent to take a decision, being a governing body of the cricket game, to say that, okay, if Australia is not able to hold the T20 World Cup, might be they can get ready UAE or some other nations to host the T20 World Cup. There is no harm. Australia got by rotation policy, right? And if they are not in capacity to hold the T20, ICC has a full rights to go somewhere else, and definitely this can happen as well, in my point of view. But ultimate money games is winning.
We are not nowhere saying that cricket should not happen. I mean, this is, Sapan also indicated to that. This is a new reality. At some point, we have to start with cricket. And I want to bring in some of the new rules, because we are already talking about COVID substitutes that England wants in July series. They want COVID substitutes. You know, no handshakes, no hugs or celebrations. Umpires will not hold caps, sunglasses, no use of saliva. Of course, we want cricket, but with some of these things, it brings in the question if it is too early, and that money game is pushing that.
I'll just take a back step, and I'll just want to raise one point here. See, Australia, England and India, these are the three cricketing giants who is driving this cricket fraternity all across the globe. There's no shame in that, because it's obvious and people are seeing that. The second thing, what you have suggested here, ban of saliva. So I was just going through Bhuvneshwar Kumar's quick buzz interview with Harsha Bhogle, and he was saying that I was working with Venkatesh Prasad in one of the IPL tournament, and he was our coach. And if you have seen Venkatesh Prasad bowling action, before he starts his run-up, he was always using saliva, even though ball was shining. And he's bowling the second over of the match, but he was still using his saliva too much. So people are used to those kind of things, but at the same time, see, it's a survival of the fittest is the Charles Darwin's rule, and we have to make sure that this has to be followed by each and every person, not only in our generation, but the every generation who is wanting to survive in this cruel planet. So we'll have to adjust, and people will take this as a challenge. I'm sure that bowlers, not only bowlers, but there are certain protocols of the test cricket where you have to shake hands. But these things will be eliminated, at least for a year or 2 year span. And they want to play now. That is for sure. And these three richest board won't be staying idle by not earning a single penny for more than 3 to 4 months. That's for sure.
It's well explained. And we all know this big three, and they are like, in this whole scenario, where is ICC? Are they concerned about the well-being of the players? Like, is this the right time to kickstart cricket right away? You feel that there should be more power to the governing body for that to be called the governing body? Or why have the ICC? Because this is one part. The other part is equality in world cricket.
Do we really need a governing body, or ICC has the power to be the governing body? And can they make an ultimate decision about in interest of cricket? Yeah, that's a really good point. And cricket, not only for the big giant nation like India, Australia or England or somewhere, but we also have to think about small countries like UAE, Afghanistan, Canada, all these countries who are trying their best to be part of that T20 World Cup or 50 over World Cup fixture. If these things is not happening, so their effort and their training will go wasted. ICC has to think carefully that apart from money, there is a talent as well. So they have to respect the talent, and they have to respect the small nations as well. Because if they are coming into the international level, they should get a equality in the cricket, same as other countries.
I like the point Darshita has mentioned, but at the end of the day, these three governing bodies are the ones who is pouring money like anything for the ICC. We have seen these intercontinental cups, which is getting organized to grow players from those type of areas where even cricket was never been part of their culture. Say, for example, Italy has started playing, like Zambia, Uganda, Papua New Guinea, right?
Japan.
Canada even at one extent. Canada was playing in our forefathers' time, but yeah. So cricket is new, but these people are investing money to ensure that the people who are staying there are ultimately from these three big nations only. Like we know that Kenya side, like 65% of Kenya team was built by Gujarati people. Same way UAE is not a UAE right now. It's a mixture of Pakistan, India and Bangladesh. I'm saying that other boards should raise their voice. But at the same time, ICC will have to have such power that, okay, for next 4 to 5 years, we are not going to have a chairperson who is from either India, Australia or England. People who is going to be at ICC, or chairman of ICC, will be from either New Zealand, West Indies, Sri Lanka, South Africa, this part. So then you will see some more activities going on among certain years. So there will be a voice which will start coming in our years from this part of the groups. And secondly, as you said, Prakash, very well, Australia was having guts to announce their schedule. They have now full summer ahead of there on the paper. England is already in the discussions with the Pakistan cricket board to ensure that their tour is not getting cancelled off, and because it is also getting scheduled in late of August. So that should be. So they are going to stretch their summer up until usually the second week of September is the last week of English summer, international summer. But now this time they are going to stretch it to first week of October. So because they want that Pakistan will come, they will earn money. If I will earn 100 pounds, obviously Pakistan will earn 25 pounds. So ultimately it's the benefit of these nations as well.
That's very well said. I think we can end this discussion with that question, summarizing what Darshit and you said so beautifully. Imagine if there was no option of having the IPL in October. Would we be talking about postponing that World T20? Or would our intent be more towards making it happen in October when Australia is doing so well? The answer to that question would give you some idea of where things stand in cricket. So thank you so much all for your participation. Thanks, Sapan. Thanks, Darshit. I wish situation continues to improve in your countries. Thank you all for listening to Gully Boys of Cricket. You can subscribe on any of your podcast sources. You can also come and discuss any of your interesting thoughts. I will see you on the next one.